podcast.shapelessmass.com.
Are you ready, boys?
Yeah, braced and ready.
Here we go.
Do it.
Welcome to podcast number 36.
And we didn't even notice. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the dates. We've been doing this for over a year now.
Oh, no.
And we totally missed our anniversary. We fucked up.
I didn't forget. I remembered it. I was waiting at the restaurant for you.
Oh, if this is going to turn into like a marital battle, I'll just wait outside.
I remembered our anniversary.
Our guest today is Paul, the tattoo guy. He works at...
Tribal Urge Tattoos.
Tribal Urge in Augusta, Georgia, on Broad Street.
Excellent place. You've had work down there.
Part of town. For a show.
If you want a hooker, that's not a joke either. If you want a hooker, that is the place to go.
I've only seen two hookers. Paul. One is a very skinny, scary thing. He's the other is a big, fat, scary thing.
Yeah.
All the guys who hang around. The guys who hang around there. I'm not sure if they're prostitutes or not. I don't give a shit. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. If they are selling ass, I will take your word for it.
Like hookers?
I am EBA.
And I'm Sir Mildred Pierce. And again,
I am Paul.
Paul. On my left.
I'll come up with some kind of cool moniker for myself later. I just don't know what it is.
Non de plume.
Oh, wait. Well, I'm officially known on Broad Street as the black guy with the dreads.
Yeah, yeah.
You do have some long ass dreads. You can check us out at podcast.shapelessmass.com. Check me out you can also check us out on our MySpace page. Yes, we're losers. We have a MySpace page. You have a MySpace page, Paul?
Never. I will never submit to the MySpace.
It's what? Like bystanders. Like, you have a MySpace page?
Well, I mean, I...
You know.
No, if you don't have a MySpace page, that's what happens.
Yeah. You can check me out at shapelessmass.com. You can check Mr. Pierce out at...
Which one of my websites hasn't been canceled yet?
What's not on the chopping block right now?
Oh, wait. This is where we announced the websites?
I'm paying my Doritos thing.
Okay.
It's still running. They haven't canceled me.
Well, go ahead.
Whatever. Whatever.com.
How many websites do you have?
He used to have a bunch, but they've been slowly getting axed one by one.
Yeah, I've been consolidating.
So what are you down to now?
Unwillfully consolidating.
Why?
Well, I just have too many domain names.
And it comes with not paying your bill.
Yeah.
How many domain names do you have?
I've had like 10, maybe.
Okay. I have a whopping 3.
Yeah.
What are
your 3? Tell us.
Well,
where we can find
SkinTribeTattoo.com was the website I made for both tattoo shops when there were both two tattoo shops. Now there's only one, but SkinTribeTattoo.com, which is merely a front for the web.
Don't use your head.
Sorry.
I'm just watching the tangent unfold.
Wait for the Queen music to
35,000.com is my official website, and when you spell 35,000.com, do not use numbers. Okay, just type letters. It works. I've done a bunch of pictures and drawings and stuff, and you can go check them out.
I should point out that Paul is a very, very remarkable artist.
You should, like,
my utmost
tattoos.
Because they won't let me work in the mall anymore because my hair's not correct.
You can email us at this thing right here.
Please remember to send all email, all hate mail, and all comments to ebaofvn@gmail.com and sirmildredpierce@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Pardon our tangent, sorry.
That's going to be the stinker. And so... We're going to go ahead and play a song.
It's a song from one of my many compilation albums that I live through because I can't think of a band that I can actually tolerate all the music from these days. Except for like Art of Noise and the B-52s, and of course they don't do anything. The song is called Fish.
Cool. Who's it by?
Good question.
Fish.
Oh man, we should play that. We should follow it up with.
Let's
Mr.
follow
Scruff.
It up with Fish by Mr. Scruff.
Ready when you are.
All right.
Dedicated John McDonald.
I'm ready.
The song we were talking about was Mr. Scruff.
Seriously, there's only one song called Fish. There's no more songs.
What a
I beg to differ.
Fish.
There's other songs out there called Fish.
Hang on a second.
They're out there.
Mildred reviews the world.
Okay, the concept of this is there are a bunch of categories. We're going to do five of the categories. I'm just going to... Normally, we have this other thing. I'm just going to name the categories. You're going to name something from it. And he's going to review what you say, unless we've already done it. And it's better if he's actually experienced it, although he will always be like, yeah, I haven't done it, but I'll
review it. Okay, so give me a demo here.
So, for instance, if I were to say...
We'll let you think of the category.
You'll get it real quick. He's going to review the stuff. You're just going to tell him what the thing he's going to... what the exam... I'm going to tell you the category. You're going to name something in that category. It'll be really obvious.
We'll start
with something easy. TV show, movie. Either or.
TV show or movie?
Yeah, series, TV show, movie, miniseries.
Arc 2.
Arc 2?
What is that?
Isn't a game?
Arc 2 is an old Saturday morning show. Think Captain Planet.
I haven't seen
okay.
it.
Okay, think Captain Planet, but remember what was the movie where they had to take the Winnebago with like the three wheels on each wheel?
Baseball?
No, it was they were driving. The world had gone nuclear, and it's like you're driving. It's like this
Mad Max.
This stainless steel RV that bent in the middle. Had like these rotating six rotating wheels.
Super bus.
The super bus.
Your birds.
I can't.
Strawberry Shortcake.
Land of the Dead.
I can't think of the name of it. It's a really crappy movie about the end of the world. But Arc 2 is the same thing. Essentially, the world ended, and it's up to this group of scientists to help put the world back together.
Yes,
so their ultimate invention to help bring the world back together, Arc 2. A Winnebago featuring Captain Blonde Handsome, Miss Asian Generic, and young Spanish kid, and their talking super intelligent monkey. And
I was gonna say there had to be some like little humor.
Was it animated?
Yeah. No, it was live action, and they would ride around in the forbidden zone.
I haven't seen this.
Yeah, and it's right around the forbidden zone. It's like
it sounded really familiar to me too, but
It's
you're going back to like Logan's Run.
This was the 1970s, and it's the Saturday morning
cartoons.
In the white little
it looks surprisingly clean for
like
being in a Mad Max world.
Version of the man who fell to Earth. You know, all the scenes where he's on the planet?
Vaguely. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, it was Captain Jonah who, you know, he could pass for either Jonah, Jesus, or anybody from, like, Greek mythology.
Noah, maybe?
And his...
Noah, was it?
It might as well. It was Captain Blonde, Caucasoid, I Know Everything, and I'm Correct. And there was young Asian female who's, you know... A minority that can help because we need a female to keep things moving, and we have young Hispanic kid
who was,
huh?
She was like Poe, right?
She was another scientist.
She was putting out for him, right?
She was another scientist.
Did they share the same bed?
Huh?
I mean,
what bed? There was. I mean, that's the one thing about the Ark. It's like they all rode around. They were either driving, sitting, and doing science things, or running around trying to bring morality and correctness to the world around them. Mm-hmm. And you know, if they slept, I don't know how or where they did it. In fact, I don't think they did. In fact, I think the chemicals they were putting together might not have been what you call legitimate, but then again, the world's over, so there's no cops, so it's like, dude, you got some of those chemicals that we stopped? There, yeah, we're here. Yeah. All right, fucking hell, let's ride! Let's ride!
Big meth lab on wheels.
Exactly. Right? It's like, you know, it's like, come on, we gotta save the world, man, come on, dude!
I've seen it, but I've definitely seen, like, screen captures of it and summaries of it. And
yeah, but it's
definitely 4 thumbs up.
Yeah, it's because Captain, I'm right, this Miss Female who's, she's smart, but she's subservient. There's the little Hispanic dude and Talking Monkey.
Talking Monkey.
And he don't like this, and everything he did, and he would,
you know, they would all run around.
Yeah,
4 thumbs.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Maybe
1 for being canceled. 1 thumbs down for being canceled.
You should bring it back. We should really bring it back.
It's on DVD.
Arc 3.
Well, how about video game, man?
Tomb Raider.
Sorry.
1 game or the entire series?
His exposure to the entire series is not very broad.
Yeah, I played Legend.
Which is
just play Legend, you young whippersnapper.
Legend,
you know I'm about Tomb Raiding.
Legend's supposed to be the most graphically like intense Tomb Raider game.
Nice to know.
Well, they look correct in Legend. Okay,
and they use that same model in the Anniversary one too.
Yeah, I mean, like Anniversary is Tomb Raider 1 or Tomb Raider 0, whatever the fucking number is, done via the Legend engine. The original Tomb Raider was for PC. She looked like someone had beaten her to death with a sack of potatoes.
Like a shareware program. It wasn't like a huge studio that put it out.
Yeah, I mean, once upon a time, back when video games were...
A lot of video games started out, what it was they would give you the first couple levels of shareware, and then they had a cliffhanger. That's how they did it, because I had it.
It's the crack sales method.
Actually, my closet.
Yeah, it's a crack sales method. It's like, here's some Tomb Raider. She got big boobs. She shot some dinosaurs. What's the next level?
And you want the next level, dog? You got to give us some cash for that shit right now.
First person either. So. Tomb Raider, maybe like two thumbs up.
One for each titty.
And one thumbs down because she never got naked. Bitch, you know.
End of Tomb Raider 2.
Damn it.
Do you get to see your nipples and stuff?
Yeah, I'll let you play the game.
That's okay.
Youngin.
Next segment, let's do food or a restaurant.
Or something food related.
Okay, Sticky Fingers. The restaurant.
I've never been there. Never been there.
Me neither? What the fuck did I serve?
How about, I think. As long as we're on the subject of Sticky Fingers, how about cock and dog?
Huh?
You know what I'm talking
about? No. Thankfully.
There's a restaurant downtown called Cock and Dog.
Okay, that's cool.
Oh, that...
Oh, please. What do they serve? Cock and Dog.
Okay, the Cock and Dog is named based on the ongoing war, between the football teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. A bunch of guys who haven't seen a college fighting over which college team is better.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And they serve food that would normally be served in a stadium, right?
I don't know. The name screams out, I'm a sports bar. So it's probably like, yep, you got your wings, you got your hot wings, got your french fries, got your quesadillas. Your quesadilla. And your frigitos. And... Sorry.
Yeah, I'll give it.
And by the way, if you have a southern accent out there, we ain't calling you stupid often.
That's just the way you're born.
Ouch. Sir Mildred, how dare thou?
So anyway, yeah, cock and balls. That's what the name of the restaurant's called. Yeah, I'll give it two thumbs up.
Right. And
one for each ball.
For those who, for anyone living outside the United States who might be hearing this, or people who aren't familiar, it's the Gamecocks is one sports team, and the Georgia Bulldogs the other. They're very famous rivals. That's why it's called Cock and Dog. Ooh. But don't mistake, yes, the cock thing is very intentional. They really do take, you know, that's a big deal for them. They understand the whole penis, you know, side of that. And, you know, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Awkward.
Next category.
This is real category. I did not make this up.
Mm-hmm.
Blame him.
Uh-huh.
But I was just curious because I'm sure you might be able to come up with one because you are a very intelligent person.
Okay.
A British royal person.
British royal?
A person of British royalty. And all the big ones are taken.
Thanks. Real or fictional?
Well, we could do fiction,
I guess. We did King Arthur.
Yeah, we did do King Arthur.
Okay, so either one.
Yeah.
Okay. Real life British royal.
Or dead. Real dead British royal.
Zombie.
Yeah, zombies.
Oh, that'd be a pretty good one. Well, it's quick and easy then. Or has Diana been taken already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Taken.
I said, all the big ones.
Okay.
We haven't done Dodi Fayette, though. That's the guy that she died with.
Oh, he's riding in the car with her?
Yeah.
Is he royalty?
No.
Well, he's
like...
We're not allowed.
Not sports.
Knighted counts as royalty, right?
No,
of course.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought, because you have... Only the British royals can, like, actually knight you.
You have to have, like, royal blood in you to be a royal. Sort of.
Okay, let's... I guess we need... I guess the ones that actually came out with, like, missing limbs and, you know...
Extra.
Trainables, as they're called, apparently. yeah, any of the British... Who would count as a British trainable? And for those who don't know, avgeeks.com, they specialize in like old safety and educational movies.
I thought this was a joke. I thought this was a fake, but this is legit. This is
a movie called The ABC of Sex Education for Trainables, which is a sex education theory guide for how to teach sex and the related to trainables, a.k.a. retarded people.
Yeah, Trannibal is apparently in the 70s was the I guess what we're using. What,
politically correct.
Now is the phrase they use. Mm-hmm.
Exceptional.
That's the phrase they were using when my sister was taking Tyler to school. She's like, this is where our exceptional students are. She's like, you know, Tyler's above average education, like way tested, way above his grade. And she's like, so this is where Tyler would be, right? She's like, no. This is where our exceptional students are. He's like, yeah, Tyler's no. Our exceptional. AKA
Trainables. Gotcha. Okay. But yeah, do we know, like, what can you think of any British trainables?
That guy that they said was Jack the Ripper. Was that guy?
He was supposed to be. Yeah, let's do Jack the Ripper because he's like a lower level. British royalty, yeah. Supposedly. So that's awesome.
There you go.
Yeah.
Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. He was a great British royal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Specializing in population control.
Now, I want to paint a real good picture for people here, so can you do me a favor? Let's set the scene. Let's start by describing what he looks like.
Jack the Ripper. He looked like your average Ripper.
You know? Thanks.
You know, differentiated only by his name, Jack.
He's throwing some curveballs at you, sorry.
They had Mark the Ripper.
Steve
Bob,
the Ripper.
Bob the Ripper. All dressed mostly the same.
Linda the Ripper.
Now, if you were to have
if
a very...
If you've seen one Ripper, you...
Well, no. Linda the Ripper. If you had the right strip club, I guess, I guess like historically themed strip club, Linda the Ripper.
How about Minnie Ripperton? Does she fit into this?
Who?
Minnie Ripperton?
Do you have time of her?
She's a soul.
Ah.
Yeah, she's a singer.
I believe you.
Famous for her one album cover, featuring her wearing a ladle full of honey.
Anyway,
Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, it's got that funky drummer beat.
LL Cool J's shining moment of lyrics. Anyway, no. He did help decrease the number of British royals and prostitutes.
Did he kill some British royals?
Maybe only killed prostitutes.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, did he have a basis for why he did what he did?
Like, supposedly. Like, one of them gave him the clap. I'm not kidding. That really is the story. Like, it's one of them gave him the clap or something like that. So
I thought it was Freemasons or something.
It was both.
Isn't it?
Freemasons gave him the clap, so he killed prostitutes.
Works for me.
That's what Johnny Depp proved.
Freemasons gave me the clap.
Powers.
Johnny Depp?
Yeah, what was that movie?
From Hell.
From Hell. That's a good movie.
Yet another Alan Moore, I want to say.
Yes.
You mean the guy who was originally Batman?
Yes. I'm Batman. Okay, so yeah, Jack the Ripper, 4 thumbs up. Yeah, thumbs down. I don't know. I can't think of it.
Yeah, don't, because he'll come fuck your shit up.
Yeah.
Jack, we all love you.
We have Jack on line.
What was that movie with Malcolm McDowell? Where's the time machine? And they go like to San Francisco during like the Zodiac.
I think it's called San Francisco Ripper.
It's something really cheesy.
Yeah, it's like California Ripper or something like that. Yeah.
But I think they had Malcolm McDowell.
There have been some really, really bad, like, shitty movies made.
And Malcolm McDowell. Star Trek. Generally.
There's only so much you can do as an actor.
Although he was awesome in Heroes.
Moving along. We're going to do, it's something we have to have, or you have to have it. So let's do music now, artist or song, or, you know.
And if you want me to review something that, you know, we have or whatever, hopefully we're going
to
play it.
I'll have to do this because I can't really call it by name.
He doesn't know the artist of this one either.
Exactly. But then again, I don't think you will either. Let's see.
You never know. Where were you? I'm as surprised any of the artists of the last one.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Volume up.
Okay, I'll start over.
We'll पहचान हो जीना आसान हो जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो दिल को चुराने वालों आंख न चुराओ नाम तो बताओ जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो दिल को चुराने वालों आंख न चुराओ नाम तो बताओ जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो शाम जवां यूं ना चली जाए आज ये शाम जवां यूं ना चली जाए फिर से ना आएगी या किसी के बुलाए फिर से ना आएगी या किसी के बुलाए फिर से ना आएगी या किसी के बुलाए जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो दिल को चुराने वालों आंख न चुराओ नाम तो बताओ जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो बोलो तुम हो गए इशारे सीधी सीधी चोट हुई दिल पे हमारे सीधी सीधी चोट हुई दिल पे हमारे सीधी सीधी चोट हुई दिल पे हमारे जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो दिल को चुराने वालों आंख न चुराओ नाम तो बताओ जान पहचान हो जीना आसान हो
I'm pretty sure that's Muhammad Rafi. It's old Bollywood stuff.
Yeah, I recorded that particular song from the Doob Doobarama Best of Bollywood Soundtracks, you know, album.
Cool. Yeah. I've got lots of stuff. I love the Bollywood sound.
Oh yeah,
and even the new stuff. But yeah, I'll give that like 3 thumbs up.
3 out of what, by the way? 5. 6. Okay.
5. Maybe 1 thumb down.
Why? What
for being in mono?
Well, I mean, that's all they had back then. They were a developing country. They couldn't, and of course, the U.S. wasn't going to give them stereo technology.
So, our sponsor for this episode is the Miniature Candy Cane Manufacturers of America. Remember to buy miniature candy canes year-round when they're really good, because they're small and they caught, you know, because of the candy canes, and they're small. And so buy them at where you work or bank.
Oh, is this where you got them, to the bank?
No.
you went to the bank and said, oh, yeah, I should grab 3 of these.
Your bank gives you things?
Yeah. Buy a candy.
Tech call of the week.
So we have this section where we can complain about customers of the tech support thing. So one thing I like about Paul is his unquenchable ability to demolish his customers verbally. So I thought we'd take a moment to talk about the customers who walk into the tattoo shop and what sort of pet peeves you have, because it's really entertaining hearing you talk about it.
Well, tattooing, giving and receiving, it's a very personal experience, and you come in close contact with people. You have to deal with their personalities for up to 2 or 3 hours at a time because you're actually sitting there
and
drawing pictures in their
parts. And sometimes they're personal parts.
In most cases, that's not a problem. There's a rare occasion where, for example, she didn't douche that year, or he hasn't seen deodorant before, or he just got through, as they say, demolishing the bathroom, and he wiped, I'm guessing, you know.
Okay.
To heavens, because the odor is kind of wafting, you know, around wherever he goes. For the most part, body parts aren't a major issue, only when they're hard to tattoo or they're moving too much while I'm working. Or the small of the back is one of the more popular areas for females to get tattooed. And any female who gets a tattoo in that area, as far as she's concerned, is stylish and beautiful and, you know, she's to be worshipped by all who come across her.
What's commonly called the tramp stamp.
Yes.
And, you know, perhaps you've heard.
Yeah, I've heard of the... I try not to use the term too much because I can't stop laughing when I hear it. But, and of course, doing that in front of customers, like, I want a tattoo small on my back.
You want a tramp stamp?
Huh? I said, have a seat, you know. But the problem I have is with the women who don't realize that they weigh 400 pounds, who want a tramp stamp, and the only way to actually get the tattoo, well, the stencil in place to have them take a look at it is to lift the back fat, put the stencil on, and say, go check that out in the bathroom.
Well, I can't see. It's like it's down here where it's supposed to be, but it's up here too. I mean, like, you're not gonna put a tattoo up here too, are you?
I can't. I can't hold up all that weight and do the tattoo. You know, I mean, I need to kind of. It's.
You need an elaborate series of trusses and ropes.
In order to hold all the back fat out of the way so I can work. I have had a number of customers who come back and show me their tattoos, and the only way you get to see it is if you take said fat, lift it, in order to view the tattoo that I did. You know? It's not a good thing, is my point.
I'm fat, and I would never do that.
There's large fat, and there's think Norbit, the movie that came out, where you don't know if she's wearing underwear because you can't see it. Yeah, putting a tramp stamp on that is a bad thing. And again, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, a tattoo is more of a personal expression piece and not something to do in order to be popular or be modern or be whatever.
Yeah.
You get a tattoo because you have a point you want to make to the world, and you're going to make that point, you know, without saying anything, walking wherever you go. Anybody has a problem with it, fuck them, okay?
Yeah.
That's why you get a tattoo. You don't get a tattoo in order to, like, be cool or be a part of the trend or whatever, okay? So if you go to a tattoo shop and get the tear on the eye because people are getting tattoos these days and the teardrop from the eye is the cheapest thing they have, huh? I don't anymore because I've gotten on too many people's cases.
How much did you charge for a tear?
A tear on the face is 40.
That's the minimum anyway, isn't it?
That's our shop minimum, yes. Now, people have a problem with that because
you charge $40 for a teardrop? Why is that?
Well, how much does it cost when you fucking do it, okay? I do this for a living. You can't. Ha 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 ha. Ergo, I get to charge. You know, that's kind of like saying to a guy who, like, I'm going to change your spark plug, and it's going to cost you $30.
Why does it cost that much?
Because you can't take your sorry ass under your hood and change your own goddamn spark plug, okay?
Yeah.
I'm doing what you can't, ergo, I get to charge whatever the fuck I want, all right? Eat my ass, all right? Now, but I have a rule. If you can come to me and explain to me why you want a teardrop on your face, I'll do it. If you can't, I'm not going to... No, you know, you don't get a tattoo that day. And I know why I'm getting it is not the answer I'm looking for. Either you explain to me what a teardrop means or leave. And with that rule in place, I've turned away a good number of customers. Granted, I could have gotten their money and, you know, bought my iPod earlier. But, you know, okay, you want to get a teardrop on your face. You know what that means, right? Yeah, I know what it mean. What does it mean? I'm saying, though, I can't even spend my money. You ain't going to give me what I need to have. I'm saying, like, I know what it means. I know what it's all about. I want a teardrop on my face. How much you going to charge me for it? $40, man. Yo, man. I mean, I told you I know what it means. Why you charge me so much? Okay. You are a 20-something idiot who doesn't understand the fact that having a tattoo on your face is going to affect your employment situation from this point on. Okay? You can't have it. Why are you going to tattoo it up on your face? Well, my homie, you know, he was, you know, back when I was doing all kind of like some stuff back when I was in Philly and stuff like that. And, you know, he used to go out and do all kind of stuff. And he ran into some problems and he ain't around no more. And I want to, you know, symbolize the fact that my homie did. Have a seat. There you go. You can have a teardrop.
Oh, he used to. Back when I first met him, he had the attitude, but he always, Paul is tempered steel now. He used to be lead, now he's tempered steel. Lead is malleable, you can work with it a little bit. Tempered steel, you can't work with steel.
You can work with me.
With the utmost respect. I don't misunderstand.
You can work with me as long as you have... Yeah, I mean, it's not quite Miami Ink or whatever the fuck that show is.
I admire him for having... I mean, that's... He's actually thinking about the well-being of his customers. Now, of course, they're going to leave and go someplace else. I'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, I piss off more people than I help sometimes because here I am trying to tell them that this is or isn't a good idea, you know? Or, you know, I'll ask them for their opinion on it. Like, well, okay, you want to get a tattoo? Well, what's a good tattoo to get on my arm? What do you want to see on your body for the rest of your life until you die? I'm saying, like, you're the tattoo artist. Like, what's a good tattoo to get? Whatever you want to see forever until your body's put in a fucking casket. What do you want to see forever? I'm saying, like, is this a good tattoo to have? If you're into whatever the hell that is, yeah. I did succumb once. He came in during Masters Week, and he wanted a tattoo on his arm for $60.
I think I was there for this.
And he wanted a $60 tattoo. It's like, what's good to get right here for $60? What do you want to see on your body, rest of your life, die, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you're the artist. I don't care. As long as it costs $60, something like that, like on my arm. I want something cool on my arm. Have a seat. Now, for anyone who's played the game Psychonauts, that game was made by a company called Double Fine. The logo for the company Double Fine is basically a round frame with the words Double Fine in a banner underneath a two-headed walrus baby in an old-fashioned swimming suit, which is what he has on his arm for the rest of his fucking life because he wanted a $60 tattoo.
Did you like it?
Well, I did the tattoo. Well, do I get to see what you're putting on my arm? No, have a seat. Give me $60. I put it on his arm. He goes into the bathroom.
Wow.
Okay, so he comes back out.
I didn't hear the story.
Yeah, so what do you think? Well, I mean, is this cool? Oh, dear God, yes. The two-headed walrus baby and it's a swimming suit? How do you... What? Oh, my God. What are you talking about? You know? So, and he came back about a week later to show me how well it was healing. And it's like, you know, good work. And you're getting on the tail from the bars, right? You're just bringing nothing but pussy to go with the beer. You know? Well, I mean, everybody who sees it says it looks pretty good. It's like, great. You enjoy life, okay? Bye.
The top side. touch her own breasts. How the tattoo smiled as they stared down her stomach, as if anticipating when they'd be allowed to caress the sweet flower that they both seemed to hunger.
Sweet flower.
Now maybe I was high, but it felt so right. Heaven and hell both take to this woman's womb. It didn't make sense how she could commence touching herself with me wide awake in the same room. But if I've learned anything in my years, I've learned I no longer believe in surprise. But what happened next damn near stole my tears. The tattoos came alive right in front of my eyes. They both slowly stood up and climbed off her hands and showed me why she never took some time with a man. They climbed deep inside of this woman's garden. She closed her eyes
and she gently bit her bottom lip.
I stepped, I left, and I don't regret leaving. And I'll never forget all the things I saw that evening. A glimpse of religion, a piece of coming closer to understanding more about what intrigues me most. I didn't get turned on, I just got turned. I wasn't as aroused as I was concerned. For each one of them I've hurt, and every time I've been burned, I've got a lot to teach, but even more to learn. So now I keep my eyes open, hoping to take in all I can about woman, taking in all she can. And for as long as I breathe, I'll save a seat in my memory for that woman with the tattooed hands. There's good and evil in each individual. If I identifies needs and feeds our desires, as long as we keep our spirit inspired, she can fight her bottom lip all she wants. There's good and evil in each individual. If I identifies needs and feeds our desires, as long as we keep our spirit inspired, she can bite her bottom lip all she wants. There's good and evil in each individual. If I identifies needs and feeds our desires, as long as we keep our spirit inspired, she can bite her bottom lip all she wants. There's good and evil in each individual. If I identifies needs and feeds our desires, as long as we keep our spirit inspired, she can bite her bottom lip all she wants.
I guess I do kind of act like the guys on Miami Ink, because I love a good story, and if you have some sort of inkling in your mind about what it is you want to put on your body forever to share with the world around you, then I'm all about making sure that you have your statement made correctly, you know? Now, granted, that doesn't apply to every dragon I get a request for. It's like, I want a dragon on my arm. Like, you know, like, I want a dragon, and I want to symbolize dragonness. I'll get right on that. How fucking boring.
You know what you need?
What?
Do it every time, but get, I'm sure it's available. Go to PBS.com, buy a DVD of Dragon Tales. Then, say, I'll do the dragon. Then when they're getting the tattoo, put the DVD in and make them watch it while you're giving them the tattoo.
Which one's Dragon Tales?
Dragon Tales is the kids' show where the kids go into their imaginary universe, or maybe it's real. I've only watched the show a couple times.
Uh-huh.
And they hang out with dragons, and they have important life lessons and stuff like that that help inspire education and awareness in small children. Not small, like 7 to 9 bracket type of thing. And there's merch that comes with it. And one of the things that interests me about the show is the dragons can fly. They all have wings. And I kid you not, if you watch the show, there is one dragon that's got two heads, okay? So they pretty much cover the fact that there are people who are different from us physically. I'm pointing that out because of what I'm about to say next.
Uh-huh.
There is also a dragon in a wheelchair. Okay? Now, you would think having a dragon with two heads was enough to illustrate there are people in life who are differently, you know, designed than us. And they
Deformed, and then there's fully equipped, but
trainer dragons.
Fully equipped, but something of theirs doesn't work. I can appreciate that.
Extra equipped. Genetic freak.
Yeah. So yeah.
And she.
Oh, it was a he and a she?
And they never talk about the fact that they're a hermaphrodite, basically, because obviously possess male and female stuff. I mean,
I can imagine the arguments now. I gotta pee. Sit down. Stand up. Fuck you.
You're not familiar with the show?
Never heard of it.
You should go to it, because it's just a regular
it's like a nothing special kids show.
Yeah, we'll see.
It came on after Caravan.
But it would totally wear away all the dragonness of their dragons.
Well, see, here's my problem. I mean, like, I don't mind coming up with, like, well, thing is, people who know that I would rather have you being personally involved with your tattoo rather than just coming at me, you know what I mean? So it's like, Okay, I know you like, you know, like to have, like, people have stories about their tattoos, and you want to, like, you know, have a reason behind getting it. So I want a dragon, and I want, like, a dragon, like a really rough, tough dragon, like doing, like, dragony things to express his dragonness, which is kind of like the generic workaround for getting me to be all hyped about, you know, the fact that you want a dragon. As opposed to, like, you know, dude, empty pistachio shells, metaphor for life, you know? That's a reason, as opposed to, like, it depends.
I'd get a dragon before I got pistachio nuts.
Well, you're on your own, because I...
Will you do a tattoo for me?
I
Can it be a Pokemon dragon?
Okay.
Yeah, that's a little irritating to you.
I'm just checking my bearings.
I mean, what is it about dragons that motivates you to...
I don't need that long.
Yeah. No, I'm not really into dragons.
I mean, but like...
To annoy you.
I know the people.
Get a tattoo just to annoy you.
Oh yeah, not a problem. I'm ready when you are.
Okay.
What's your dragon gonna look like? Oh, I don't know.
It's gonna be a wheelchair.
Now,
hanging in a wheelchair.
Now I'm ready to do your tattoo. Now I'm behind you,
now
because now I'm excited, because that is
even better. Don't show them the flash and do the dragon in the wheelchair while they're watching the show. And then, like, when you're halfway done, be like, oh, by the way, you see that dragon in the wheelchair? That's what I'm doing for you. And then just keep going.
Now, the other type of person that I, or one of many I don't like, are the ones who would actually do that as long as the price was right. It's like, what do you want on your bike for the rest of your life? I want, like, an eagle with, like, you know, a rebel flag behind him, with, like, a wrench in one hand and a beer in the other, with, like, 15 dancing girls with their titties hanging out behind him, like, and absolutely, like, America's the first. Okay, that'll be about $600 across your entire back. What about dragon in a wheelchair? How much is that? I'll do that for 80. I'll get dragon in a wheelchair then. I just want some ink, man. I just want some ink. So you'll get the cheapest thing in here just to get some ink. I mean, go buy a pack of fucking ballpoint pens if you need ink, okay? Don't get it because it's the cheapest thing in the fucking room. I can't stand people who are, like, willing to affect their entire lives based on how much money they have in the wallet right then, you know? If you want a tattoo of Ming the Merciless, don't pay for a butterfly smoking a joint. Okay?
So another one I know that bugs you is the I want my name.
Well, I don't mind the people who want their names. Again, if that's all you... I mean, if you come into the tattoo shop, how much is this? How much is this? How much is this? Well, what's the cheapest thing y'all got? Okay, I want my name then. I have done so many names on people who, again, it's the cheapest thing had as far as they knew, and, you know, or they look around and decide.
What does that mean, as far as they knew? I'm just curious.
Well, they come in and play the game of what I call point and price, which is they want to pay a certain price for a tattoo rather than tell me how much money they have on me, how much they want to spend. They treat me like basically like a used car salesman. It's like, if he knows how much money I have on me, he'll sell me something that's, you know, way cheaper, but charge me. It's like, if he knows I have 120, he'll do like a butterfly about 2 inches by 2 inches and charge me 120 for it. I know what they're up to. So, I mean, like, the fact that, you know, you're going to do it anyway, why should I pay you extra money? Or my other favorite argument, especially from all the hoochie mamas and drunk mullet wearing assholes. were you there for him today? The guy who comes in with the big fucking kid who comes in with his fucking drunk ass mullet headed father.
No,
I'll cover that in a minute. But the fact that, you know, I'm doing you a favor by allowing you to produce this artwork that you produce for people for me. So yeah. I am allowing you to do what it is you want to do. So by me allowing you to do that, you should be paying me, essentially. That's the argument I get from all the hoochie mamas, especially, because it's like, well, I'm letting you do a tattoo. You ought to give me a discount based on that. So how about if I just pulled a gun and shoot you in the head, you know? I wanted to do that. You were standing there. I put a bunch of fucking bullets in you, you know? I guess you were doing me a favor in that respect.
Body piercing.
Yeah. Oh, God. I would love to pierce some bodies in that respect. Cheap fucking...
You know, and again, I have to go with the TV analogy. You know, I'm letting you sell me a TV.
Yeah.
You know.
So based on the fact that I'm letting you do what you need to do in your eyes, you deserve to give me something in return.
You were going
to
sell a TV anyway.
Yeah. So I mean, like,
this is a TV sales place. So yeah, you're going to sell TVs anyway. Yeah. You seem to enjoy it. You come here every day. So yeah.
Oh, or better yet, I'll bring you some more business. More cheap assholes. Yay!
Yeah, well, what do you think about that, what I was saying? I'm just curious. Do you think validity to
come in? I think I always like more of the healthy skill than I do with the database. Except maybe in like restaurants.
I don't mind haggling as long as it's realistic. And the thing that people realize and don't need to realize with haggling, that I'm sure Paul appreciates, is the haggling he's trying to, for instance, there's haggling he's trying to do with me. I want to get a piece done by him. I'm willing to pay him whatever the charge is plus a tip, okay? And he's saying to me that he wants me to paint his car. That's haggling. That is bartering. We're exchanging something. Yeah.
I want you to paint my car. I just want to give you cash. I want to work. God. Which is a valid argument.
So do you mind if people haggle?
No. No. What I'm saying is, I bet you if someone came in like that attitude, but they said like, well, I'll tell you what, I'll throw in these gift certificates from this restaurant I work at.
Well, either way, it's like, I'm offering you, you know, I want you to perform the service for me. Well, I want you to pay me in this format. Well, I want to pay you in this format instead, and I'll give you, you know, this much for allowing me to receive your service, and I'll pay you in this format, you know? I mean, either way, it's an exchange of goods and or services for goods and or services or monetary whatever.
Yeah.
But it's all done with logic, respect, and an understanding of the world that allows you to understand, or anybody with a brain,
yeah,
as you have, that I deserve to have payment for my service, and that the world does not revolve around you getting something for nothing. Now, you get to do web design, graphic design, things like that for people.
Not much more.
But when you did that, did you run into a lot of people who, here in Augusta, and here, you know, underneath the Bible Belt here, that seem to have this mentality that they deserve to have,
yeah,
and that's it. No one deserves to have but them, and if they were to receive from other people, then they were to receive from other people. They weren't supposed to give back. It's all about them receiving and, you know, fuck the rest of the world.
Specific person,
I'm thinking of people who always come and want to be put on a list by a week, which would be like 1,000 by now. But they want us to call them that specific person. So that week comes in, or our 3 weeks a week coming.
Well, I mean, everyone needs hope. I can't say that you should demolish all hope.
But you'll get a weed.
Well, if you dress nice enough and, you know, say hello in the bars on occasion. But yeah, it's art and the exchange of money for art in Augusta especially seems to be based around a lot of people who would rather receive than give. And that's all they fucking care about.
I'm sure when we have you back, we can talk about this more. We'll talk about some more here.
Yeah,
we need to play some music. I'm going to play a song I was listening to today. It was a song I've been listening to a long time. I really, really like it. It's from an odd project. It's a rapper by the name of Bus Driver.
Bus Driver.
You familiar with Bus Driver at all?
If I had to hazard a guess, he's a reggae hip hop type of thing.
Yeah. He is. Avant-garde. Very poetic. And this song is actually, there's this guy, I wish I remember, Radio Inactive, put out an album where he remixed all these songs by some classic 70s artist, right? So then somebody else got the idea to put the album out again, but remix the songs again with these two rappers on. One of them was Bus Driver, the other guy, I can't remember his name. But it's a really odd project. And Buster I Ran Up himself is weird enough because his lyrics are just so, like, he has a song called Imaginary Spaces where the chorus is like, kids, if you really want to piss off your parents, show an interest in the arts.
Ouch.
And stuff like that. So, and I really dig his stuff. And so, and he's also got an amazingly hyper flow. I mean, like, he's one of those rappers that, not in that twisted type of way, he's genuinely saying something, and it's not just kill, 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 shoot, shoot, and stuff like that. He gets really political, too. But this song especially was a personal favorite because the chorus, which is from, you'll hear the guy that's singing for the original songs, is very catchy. It gets my head, and I sing it the rest of the day. And I just wanted to play it on the podcast as you're going tonight. So this is called Carl Weathers. It's mainly by, I have a credit as Bus Driver. It's Bus Driver, Radioactive, and another rapper named Dan Smith.
Weather is a glazed beverage with a grave emphasis on the strange letter bridge and the games we assist when we exchange leadership with a change in the meter, bitch. Y'all can eat some zebra shit with a fork and knife and tartar sauce. It's the corporate light of Haagen-Dazs, the poor light on the cotton cloth.
The people who bring flat screens to book burnings and put earnings in the soil panthers of oil canvas painters.
Painting pictures of people with visions of evil watered down with a gospel crown. I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
I don't think we're in Timbuktu. We're gonna live top tier production, big butt liposuction at the annual Bible luncheon.
I pull stunts in with an eyeball crunch grin. Why not wear a waterproof necktie to the function? Do what you gotta do. Go to Lake Havasu to cook some rabbit stew and have an old lady gab at you.
The weather will talk your head off. The parking attendant will park your attention span against the demented plan of a white ninja in Japan. Or Red Cross for medical coverage. Our legible smudges are well received like health conscious women dressing their husbands drinking vegetable slushes. I disassemble my musket. Never were instrumental. A milli vanilla. The caterpillars are willing to kill me. The castle builders are building a villa for women and children are living in limited numbers. We're primitive plumbers and innocent mother is giving the pilgrims some slapper. Interesting how to do the warheads laugh. A Hercules forehead is smashed on a wall of weather. That's why we wear these koala sweaters. Like they were tailored to save a whaler. But major failure ain't a Vegas trailer. Paid your dealer, paid the waiter for our plated taters. Irritate your neighbors by real estate and acres. Near a lake where ravers get earaches from lasers. Beard or naked vaders get near the sacred savior. To hear the take that player cold front. We're too old to smoke blunts, so we promote funk. To make adults hump, we catapult jump.
this week's game.
What we're gonna do now, we're gonna play a game. I'll be the judge, or maybe we'll evolve this. This is a new game. This is a game that we used to play all the time at Larry's house. I don't know if anyone else has played this before. The concept is this. There is a whole subcategory of pornographic movies where basically they do a parody of a real movie. And so what they do is they take the title of the real movie and they make it pornographic. So the trick here is I'm going to throw some real movie titles out at you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see if you can come up with the best porn version. I'll give you some examples. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about already, but just some examples.
Aeon Flux, a nice easy one.
Aeon Flux.
Anal Flux.
Anal Flux. But like,
well, Anal Flux, actually, wouldn't it be?
Friction. Pulp Fiction becomes Pump Friction. Forrest Gump becomes Forrest Hump. And the best one we actually saw this one was Harry Cooter and the Sorcerer's Bone. Which is just genius. You have to appreciate. Now, okay. When we played this, we actually had Larry's DVD connection, which I'm sure you can attest is very large, his DVD connection. Mm-hmm. And I won the game when we did Cruel Intentions. And my movie title was Cruel Insertions, which I think is just genius. And they have to remember it. So
how do you score? Whoever comes up with the good one first? Or?
Yeah, whoever comes up with the good one first.
What are you working to? 10?
Whatever.
When we get tired of the game.
Whenever I have more than him.
The Manchurian Candidate.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. See there.
The Masturbation Candidate.
Man. Can candidate. I don't know.
The Man on Man Candidate.
There you go.
Start. Let's see.
The Man Cannon Candidate. I have heard people refer to the penis as the Man Cannon, so.
Ah, there we go. Yo Jimbo.
Yo Jimbo.
Mm-hmm.
Ho Jimbo?
Yo Jimbo, come here, give me a blowjob.
Nothing.
Isn't that in Japanese?
Well, in Japanese, that's pretty good.
Ho Quimbo. I don't know. It's better than what you said, motherfucker.
We'll call that a
Yo Jim Blow.
That works.
There you go. There's your.
What are we doing? Nothing but gay movies. How'd that happen? Because Yo Jim Blow is clearly a command. And I don't know too many women named Jim.
Little Miss Sunshine.
That's too. Little Miss Sunshine would be it, but
no, you got to point it up. What is it?
Little Miss Sunshine.
Give him the point.
Ka-poing! Well, here's an easy one: The Adventures of Robin Hood.
Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Nah, that's my.
The Adventures of Given Head.
Boom! There you are. Now you're with me.
The Adventures of, like you know, like there's, I know it's sword fights, but still, you know, I mean, like explosions and, you know, some guy over there sucking a dick, you know, and anyway.
Witness for the prosecution.
Ooh, witness for the penetration.
Okay, what we got? Counter offer.
I like that.
Okay, so here we go. And things are shifting.
I hope my mom never hears this podcast.
Why?
Does your mom still listen to this podcast?
Probably not.
You should let her hear this episode.
Okay.
Did she ever listen to the one where we talked about the, you know, the sweatshop and John and
Nah, probably not.
Okay.
She didn't recognize what she did.
Okay. Alright. The man who shot Liberty Valance.
Well, come on, the man who fucked Liberty Valance.
Yeah.
There was a man who shagged.
Yes, that is better.
The man who shot on Liberty Valance.
The man who shot in Liberty Valance.
All around, who wins that one?
Me.
Okay. Now, moving on. Sling Blade.
Sling.
Hmm?
Swing Blade.
Let's see what else we got here.
Which kind of paints a picture, doesn't it? So to speak. Sorry.
The Grapes of Wrath.
Ooh. I'm drawing a blank on that one.
Mm-hmm. The Rapes. The Rapes of Gash, you say?
The Rapes of Gash. Give that man a point. That's brilliant. Where are we at, by the way? I'm just curious, score-wise.
What is that, 8.5?
No, you don't get to pick. You have to accept. The Deer Hunter.
The Queer Hunter.
Okay, got it over.
I mean, come on.
The Queer Hunter. I'll call that one because
that's like Scrabble now. I get to steal his point.
Yeah, that seems kind of unfair.
Well, no, yeah. I'm judging based on the fact that if I can imagine the movie actually being made, for example, The Queer Hunter.
It kind of makes.
I don't want to. Like, oh my god, I have to fuck. Oh, all right, Jesus.
I wonder how many of these are real.
Baby. Oh my god.
I wonder how many of these are real.
You search, find out.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I'm so totally doing that.
All right, here we go. Cool Hand Luke.
Cool Hand Job Luke? I don't know. That one doesn't really work. Okay. That one, that I'm.
Slick Hand Luke. Mm. I hope they either of us could point.
Well, Cool Hand Lube.
You know, yeah, there you go. Cool Hand Lube.
I'm
yeah. Now you see where how I felt, huh?
Okay, but yeah, but you're picking like the nice, easy.
I was just going down the list. I was trying to skip over anything that was really obvious.
Yeah, you gotta. I'm looking for the most ridiculous. How could you even think of turning that into a porn movie? Titles like, for example, The Maltese Falcon.
The Maltese fucking.
I can think of anything that sucks as bad as
the cock. The cock tease fucking.
The cock tease.
Wait, no. Or the cock tease falcon, which is just weird, but yeah.
Yeah.
What's the scores at?
Fill the void, I guess.
So to speak.
Dead tie. So we gotta go tiebreaker or what?
Sure. What are we at? 10?
Yeah, I went for 10.
Oh, okay. Well, even. It's a big one.
So
make it hard, so to speak.
You said you thought of the
it's double entendre theater.
Double entendre or nothing? Can't make it like another three more. That should break the time.
Oh, okay.
Alright. A Clockwork Orange.
A Clockwork. What rhymes with orange?
Nothing rhymes with orange.
Clockwork Orange.
Okay, medium, what do you got?
My cock spurts orange.
Much better. Your breaker. All right.
Which, again, is just weird.
Apocalypse Now?
A cock in my lips now?
Oh my god, that was, I gotta give you that one, that was yeah. Saigon, I can't believe I'm still being fucked in Saigon. I love the smell of pussy in the morning.
Groundhog Day. I have something in mind and it's disgusting and please say something quickly before
Groundhog Lay. That's the first thing that popped in my head.
Yeah. quote, brown log lay.
Oh, God. Oh.
Well, yeah, but I mean.
No. Well, that's not right.
That would be like a bunch of fucking homie thugs. Yeah. Standing there with, like, you know, green with the fucking gold teeth as they point at the girl. They're fucking, you know, like, the day the earth stood still.
The day the earth did Jill.
Ouch. Poor Jill. And thus we break the tie. Very good.
Yay! I won! Yay! I've never won one of these before. Oh, wait.
But the day the earth did Jill. Oh, man.
All right.
All the lube and blood.
What? Do you want to play Tanya?
Yes.
I have something to do with you.
My turn. I haven't downloaded it. Well, I downloaded the new EP. He asked me to play track 14, which is titled Then Things Exploded.
Oh, yeah. of these in battle regions of the globe, solidly impoverished with guns to the dome. Ecstasy. see sugar, caffeine, Novocaine, Demerol, alcohol, nicotine, Vicodin, Trail Mix, Mescaline, Ice, Sherm, Methanol, Methadone, Quaaludes, Burn. To the street gangs, it's big money, petty cash. To the major, distributor, empires are built, lives killed for 100 keys a week. Ask Mr. Rick Ross. Uzis is bought, body bags on the lawn. Mr. Ali North says nothing's wrong. With guns and dropping dimes while niggas do time. A secretly sell overpriced to Iran. The infamous contragates weapons stand. Notorious drug for money, gun operation. Wealthy conservatives donate for pictures taken. With presidents, Senate subcommittees documented. Officials tolerate contra-link drug venting. December 75, the Watchtower mission. Established a series of three electronic beacons. Towers from Bogota all the way to Panama were activated. Aircraft can fly so invisible. Defense forces, CIA agencies waiting for the shipments. Profits from narcotic ventures. Wandering through Swiss bank accounts. Too much grip to count. It never droughts. Ecstasy, sugar, caffeine, Novocaine, Demerol, alcohol, nicotine, Vicodin, Trail Mix, Mescaline, Ice, Sherm, Methanol, Methadone, Quaaludes, Burn.
Called Air America, CIA front. CIA, soldiers, mercs, and we've been bringing it in ever since.
Turn to white, crystal map, angel dust, Percocet, cocaine, morphine, PCP, ash, opium, drugs. It gets critical, the cover-up, Operation Orwell, Mortitel, a special force spying on, well, non-political, law enforcement and Catholic churches, judges get white male detergent, bugs and phone taps, civilians getting trapped, world diagrams, naval charts, ill maps. All the drama collected from phone taps goes to Washington. Private corporations use that. It's leverage, manipulate Congress to approve costs. On many weapons, drugs, fund secret wars off. Armor vehicles, invisible aircraft, illegal controls the whole world. Black.
Oh man, I.
Well, we just got finished hearing Cornelius's wonderful cover of the theme song to Terry Gilliam's bizarre and captivating Brazil. And then we followed that up with...
It's an old standard, though.
So. Micronauts doing their marvelous pro-drug organization tune, Illegal Business.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess we kind of forgot about that.
The advice column.
My friend told me something like she was watching Oprah and she found out there are fishes called penis fish and the vagina fish. And she usually lies to me when I say I believe her. She tells me she was joking. But this time she doesn't say that. And she told all our friends too. Is it true? Are there really such kind of fish? Boing, boing.
Emoticon.
Yeah.
Okay. There probably are.
Are they talking about the ones that swim up your penis?
The candiru.
Called penis fish and vagina fish, though?
I bet they are by the
I did not follow there. The grammar of that at all when we get into the second part here where it's like, okay, I'm with them with the whole penis fish vagina. And she usually lies to me, and when I say I believe her, she tells me that she was joking. But this time she didn't say that, and she told all her friends too.
Yeah.
My brain could not wrap itself around that.
I am comprehend. I work with her type every day. What that means is her friend will say something like that and turn around and go, haha, I was kidding.
Yeah.
But this time, the friend didn't go, haha, I was kidding.
Okay.
She stood behind her words, and now...
Because penis fish are real.
Yeah, right.
Never seen one? A fish, I mean.
On the internet.
Like, actually, like, coming out of someone...
It looked like a penis.
That was a penis.
You should see the vagina fish.
Does it look like a vagina?
Kind of. Not a fully formed vagina.
Red snapper.
It's got lips. Smells kind of funny.
I admire your ability to do that. I applaud.
Any
I applaud your entendre.
This was the first one that.
Well, my problem is the fact that this person relies on her friend and Oprah to guide her through life.
Now
if Oprah doesn't stand behind it, it can't exist.
So did she go to like Google and type in advice as opposed to just typing in penis fish to get her answer? Like she does. Oh, what am I going to do? I should go find a website that gives advice. to find the answer to this question.
Yeah.
Where can I find a website like that?
I'll use Google.
I think the more pressing question for me is, what the fuck was Zopra talking about? But today we're talking about housewives who are depressed and penis fish.
Usually when she says vagina, she says JJ. So she would have said the JJ fish, so I'm skeptical.
The JJ?
That's what the JJ calls
fish.
It.
I'm going to name my next band the JJ fish.
Not bad.
That is a good name for a band.
But for young lady, my advice, get better friends and learn to discern truth from fantasy on your own. Don't rely on the world around you to think for you.
See, that's practical.
Grow a brain.
That's practical. Well, something grow a brain.
Yeah.
But I like that. Okay, next.
Okay, me and my BF want to do more stuff like fingering and hand jobs, as opposed to what do they do now? But we have absolutely no place to do it. I'd try the vagina. My parents don't let me have guys in my room, and I've never even been to his house. Pathetic, I know. Where are some comfortable places we can do this stuff? Thanks.
Comfortable's in all caps.
Hence the.
The emphasis.
Okay. Assuming young lady or man or whatever is old enough to...
I'm assuming this is a girl writing in about her boyfriend and they, you know, she wants to have him.
While you watch a movie, cover yourself with a blanket. And
unless she's a trainable. Okay. okay. Any place where you can't be seen is a private place. Private places are good for things like fingering and anal sex or whatever the fuck you do. Okay?
I have a question. Now, you guys, I'm old.
But her parents don't let the boyfriend in the room.
Yeah.
I'm old, okay? I'm going to start by saying that.
Uh-huh.
But
4 years.
I want to know, has it changed so much with relationships with kids and people that you've never been to the person's house and you guys are exchanging in basically mutual masturbation? That's just kind of, I don't know. That seems kind of out of, I mean, like, that's something you would do first. Like, go to the person's house, get to know the person, and then, you know, move on to the...
Well, unless she's either wheelchair-bound or nailed to the wall.
She said...
She'd never been to his house.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, maybe he's embarrassed by his parents.
Yeah, it just seems like, I don't know... Like something that, you know, like a social moray that we should keep.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if
you get to know a person's life before you, you know, let them stick their fingers up your twat. You know, I don't know. I'm just weird that way.
But, I mean, if she's incapable of travel, like she has, like, no legs or, you know,
no,
the house has been sealed from the outside.
Obviously, if she had a car, this would all be a moot point.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So the legs angle is interesting too, because you know maybe that's why Dad won't. You know, why don't I got no legs? I know you got fingers.
Well, bonus points if as a parent, you know.
Anyway,
let me smell that finger. Okay, you can go.
Next.
Yeah, that's advice. Okay, travel
advice.
More.
Good advice.
Good advice. Yes. Get a car. That's our advice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I am a girl of 18. Does smooch cause pregnancy?
It just reminds me of the Babby.
Yeah. Does smooch cause pregnancy? I am girl of 18.
Going to finger bang bang you into the night.
So, she's 18, and she wants to know if smooch, which I assume she means kissing, causes pregnancy.
Well,
I would agree with you because...
We have to assume also that pregnancy on her planet means the same thing we assume it means. Okay? Smooch is kissing, pregnancy is baby coming out of vagina.
Yeah.
Now, assuming she knows both of those facts, we can say one thing. But if to her, smooching is, you know, kissing and pregnancy means strange rash.
If I actually met this girl on a... like in a bar or whatever, and
she's
asked me
18.
I would definitely tell her no. It does not, and neither does sexual intercourse.
If you met this girl
I would tell her yes, and I'll tell you why. I got 2 points I want to make about this. Number one, I tell her yes simply because the last thing I want is this 18-year-old who doesn't understand where babies come from reproducing. Number two, if you think that kissing causes pregnancy, how many girls have been non-sexually, just as a parental paternal thing that parents do, been kissed by their father. You know.
Well, smooching is more like.
Yeah, you have a point.
Snogging.
But wait a minute. If you're 18 and you think that kissing causes pregnancy, you know, you don't want to take that chance.
Yeah. All South Carolina jokes aside, if you met this girl in a bar, odds on she's crashed through the window because she didn't know what the fuck it was, or she's bouncing off the wall near the bathroom because she can't aim to the right and actually enter it, okay?
There is the extreme possibility that she is 18.
Maybe she's a trainer.
Amish. She's a trainer. She's Amish, and she's just going through that rite of adulthood where they let him out into the real world, and she's just found the internet for the first time, and now she wants to ask that question that she's just been too chaste and too restrained to ask of her parents because she's been, you know, Amish all this time.
Nah, I still say if
she thinks that this magic box in front of her will be the answer to the box, so she types in the question.
And she's disappointed.
It's the natural answer box. Where's the answer?
I didn't see your hand, so I thought you were talking about like the box, you know?
If girl is this aware of the world around her, odds on she was hit by a car the second she stepped out of her house.
Well, my advice is yes, yes.
Stop, read a book, watch a movie.
Smooching causes pregnancy, so you shouldn't do it. So no more little versions of you running around because you're fucking stupid. And the last thing we need is more fucking stupid people.
What does it mean when you find a Indian pointing his bow at a star kneeling by a Tootsie Roll off the
It means you need to take some fucking grammar lessons.
Now,
it means that Tootsie Rolls are affiliated with the devil. They are the harbingers of Satan. And you shall not eat of the tempting fruit that will despoil your soul.
Or,
can I get an amen?
Or don't do acid.
I have actually seen what they're talking about.
I don't think I have.
And what it is, I actually looked this up once. The star is actually a printing reference because it's a repeating pattern that they cut in the little pieces. And it's like where the corner falls or something like that. And when it gets off sync, it produces the star. So it's kind of an error thing that it's so common that it's not like a collector's item or anything.
Right.
But when I was a kid, you never heard that?
What are the Indians?
Star, that means you get a free... Well, the Indian's pointing at the star with the bow and arrow.
Is there like an Indian on every tattoo?
If not on everyone, because the pattern repeats. And it's not the same pattern. It's like a big pattern, right? It's not... The pattern is like, this is a square, okay? Mm-hmm. And then there's another square, completely identical to this one, but they cut this huge square into little tiny pieces. So this one may have the Indian, this one may have a dog, and this one doesn't have it.
So every Tootsie Roll wrapper is different?
Sort of. Every Tootsie Roll wrapper from this square is going to be different. Every Tootsie Roll wrapper from this square is identical to that one, sort of, a little bit. Because the things get off center a little bit, too.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid,
I don't recall ever looking at the wrapper. I just eat the fucking candy and
you turn the star into a store, they have to give you a free Tootsie Pop. No, not true. That's right.
Yeah, we should try.
Look that one stuff. So I'm sure there's probably a whole article that goes into the Tootsie Wrapper or star.
Yeah. Now, the poor person who discovered
that. That's why I pulled that one.
Yeah.
Plus,
yeah.
It's just such a retarded fucking trainer way of asking.
Trainable.
I'm sorry.
Trainable. Yeah, I
thought it wasn't. We need to bring that back into vogue.
Trainable.
I'm gonna start using that at work. I'm gonna start saying that to people to their face. You're
a trainable.
You're trainable, aren't you? Because it sounds like I'm saying, you know, like I can instill lessons in you that will produce better work from you, right?
So, this is EBN, a group I actually know the name of.
Okay.
So for a change, I finally got the name. I can call a name out.
Here is Dan Rabbit.
United States is about to address the nation from New York.
We will rock you. Some may ask, why rock?
These are the times that rock and soul. I instructed our military commander to totally rock America. And I repeat those well-known words over and over again. We will rock you. And I repeat this over and over again. Over and over again. And I repeat this over and over again. Over and over again. We will rock you. Some may ask, why rock out now? The answer is clear.
The facts are clear.
The answer is clear.
That's why
try to keep this here secret between me, you, and this song. Menage a trois that sings to me sinfully, and God plays along, plays along, plays along.
What you want with a woman who won't do what she says?
I was sweet on her, she was sweet on Jesus. And we slept with a blanket barrier between us. Master of a craft that had her laughing like hyenas. When I asked her if she'd marry an elitist. Staggering genius and lace with the grace of a drunken monk. The mask isn't seamless cause her face says something sucked. But I don't dare ask her, I just listen. Switching to my good ear and adjusting my position. As she discussed Ginsburg, I listen and learn. As she disperses words, I just resisted the urge to do like he would, whatever he wanted. If she allowed me to, she dangled that carrot. And then ask me, what would Bukowski do? Don't go there. He'd make you his mom and then completely lie about it in a book later on.
Got a man's falling, didn't know, right or
no. Spirits were lifted when she whispered something French in my ear. Tension was there. When I responded in English, it sounded less sincere. The sex in the air couldn't be left alone. So welcome to the Terror Dome, a bedroom full of pheromones where nothing that we say is set in stone. I thought it was for posterity, I'd already be writing better poems. But I'm talking in extremes, best this and best that. Best not regret anything that ever gets said to this hellcat. Creeping on all fours, ready for combat. With secretive walls, sneaking the claws in our contract. Bending every which way but loose, with no proof that anything that we've suggested to this day is the whole truth. Was a medical slow dance. Said my advance was sexual. Held my genitals with cold hands. Set up the coke cans. Broke out the Red Rider. And one by one I tried to knock down everything that's dead inside her. She used to treat street dividers like a balance beam. Arms spread wider than the legs in her dad's magazine. Reenacting the pages that she could trap between. I used it for kindling and then spilled the gasoline. Now I'm your water boy.
I fetch it from your cheeks just like tennis balls. Smell the stench of your weakness on the bedroom walls. Somebody careless let them vaporize. Who let these fall to the floor from your poor vacant eyes? Disintegrate, disintegrate, first impression. But I work better on page, they say words are my profession. Let me spell it out in simple language, plain English. I want your suicide to be a book of mine that I never finish.
Got this morning, didn't all right wrong.
Sage Francis got up this morning. Most of the hip-hop I listen to is like that. It's not, you know, kill people and fuck bitches and stuff like that. That's I do have a little bit of that, but I don't really like that quality of it either. I'm into the stuff that actually means something, you know what I mean?
De La Soul put out 3 albums featuring them sitting around in spacesuits pretty much.
Yeah.
After that, I have not gone back into the wonderful world of hip-hop because it sucks.
Well, I could let me bring you a disc before you go ahead.
But, what? What? Underground rap? What is this stuff you're talking about? I'm unsure.
Underground hip hop artists, true school hip hop artists, guys who actually talk about things that actually matter, or you know, doing content and actually evoking art, as opposed to just, you know,
here's what I have that you don't, and I fucked this bitch.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I shot those guys, and I sold coke over there, and you know, that type of stuff. So, yeah, there's that. And you've been listening to podcast number 36. Thanks a lot to Paul for showing up. Really cool having you.
Thank you. Thanks
to Mr. Pierce for showing up, yes.
Thank you.
Oh, we're not
roommates. So how much is this ego of yours away?
Interest. Just out of interest. We're not roommates anymore. He's actually moved in with Amber. So, yeah, it's kind of... It is a big deal for him, because when he says that, I mean, that actually means something. And... Thanks to you guys for listening out there. Remember, you can check us out, podcast.shapelessmass.com and myspace.com/shapelessmasscast. Everybody will make fun of me.
Huh? Please remember to send all email, all hate mail, and all comments to ebaofvn@gmail.com and sirmildredpierce@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Any shout-outs you want to give? Shout-outs to everybody at Tribal Urge.
Shout-outs to everyone at Tribal Urge that I work with, even the ones that don't show up that often, hint, wink. And shout-outs to all my regular customers who understand the fact that it's not some sort of store where you walk in and buy things. It's actually a
rant
somebody.
Rant alert.
Don't you have Pokemon to finish killing? Okay, yeah, exactly.
You don't kill Pokemon. You catch a little ball.
Sifrance.
They faint.
Well, either way, they can't carry on. Shout out to all my customers who can appreciate the fact that it's a skill being shared as opposed to a product being purchased. And shout out to all the strippers who don't bother coming to the shop anymore because they know the titty joke, you know, won't work.
It would not be.
And I guess the bonus points to all the artists out there who frustrate me and make me want to try harder to be artists, and you know, and even the guys who claim that graffiti isn't as quality as a you know, he doesn't think he can do artwork that well. Okay, our good friend here.
Good. I just don't think.
Movement. Yeah, I think you're just. I think your work is just fine. I think you need to give them more credit.
Okay.
And you know, this whole like I'm shy, I'm modest thing is. It was cute the first half hour, but I think you need to go ahead and.
It's also me trying to keep my ego in check because I can be a big, you know, I'm the shit type of person.
Sometimes
you have to, like every once in a while. I mean, like especially in a haggling situation, it's like, well, I don't know if I want to pay that much for that. I my artwork rocks. Pay me, or you know, get back in your fucking SUV.
World-renowned, man.
Exactly. At some point, you have
pictures of it on the internet.
Yes, there are train cars across this nation with my work on it. I rule the Conrail. Yeah,
but,
Burlington Northern should thank you for keeping those cars from being rusty. Yeah.
Well, big ups to everybody at work who's checking this out, and, you know, just everybody in general who's got a subscription. Hopefully you haven't forgot about us, because we're not putting them out as much. Big ups to the Creepy Sleepy Show. Sorry we never got around to following up on our end of the whole deal. But you never sent me that record bag either, so.
I don't know. Really,
that I won. You remember the contest they had? That record, the prize was a record bag, strangely enough. And they never sent it to me.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
How about we talk shit about them on the podcast then?
Still don't overhear it.
I thought they listened to us.
Actually, I think he does have a subscription to us, and he probably will hear it, because he listens to a lot of podcasts. So he'll probably show up on his iPod, because he has an iPod, and he'll listen to the whole thing, and then be like, wow, what the fuck? And they're actually more famous than we are.
Let us know if your prediction came true. Yeah.
So, we love you, Creepy Sleepy. Fuck you, Creepy Sleepy. You get the duplicitous nature of what's going on here.
We love, hate you. We'll talk to you later. Never talk to you again.
I hate you. Call me. we're going to start an East Coast,
love.
West Coast rapper feud.
Oh, please don't do that.
Anyway, so, yeah. But,
it was fun.
Yep. Thanks a lot for being on the show, Paul. Yeah, and see you guys later.
All right. I was trying to make a TIE fighter.
Oh.
Well, look. Right there at the beginning, you got kind of one. That's a TIE bomber, I think. Because it was the two pods with the...